This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre, on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Brought to you live every Tuesday, every week. Now, thanks to Steve for the news, and thanks to Gasman for the morning show. How are we today, guys?
Well, I'm pretty well, thanks, Carlos. It's Jack here, everybody, and I've been made a quick jaunt up to Brisbane for the weekend.
Oh, excellent.
Yep.
How about you?
I'm all right. Jack, I can't wait to hear all about that. Maybe off air, but not now. But no, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm panelling for you boys today.
Oh, thank you. But also, just one important note to comment on. I received a message from Pakistan. A person in Pakistan, Arsalan, who tunes in to Well, Well, Well to get all this information around sex, health and well-being. We take it for granted so much, so we live in this diverse community and accepting community. And so he gets his information news through the internet, and he gets the podcasts on Well, Well, Well. So he appreciates that very much, because it's a pretty strict country and with all their codes. So, Arsalan, thank you for tuning in, and we're sort of with you in spirit over in Pakistan.
No, thank you for that. Yeah, and we've had a couple of overseas listeners over the last couple of weeks, haven't we? So, I mean, lots of people can sort of link into the community through Joy, which is great.
It's marvellous.
Yeah, indeed. So today's show, Jack,
yes.
Tell us.
Well, today we have a great show. We're going to be talking to Jeremy and Patrick from the Alcohol and Other Drug Service at the Victorian AIDS Council about mental health and dealing with alcohol and drug use. So it's an issue very close to a lot of people's minds and hearts, and something that VAC is responsive to, those issues in the community.
Very interesting topic indeed. And we're also going to talk to Tom about Midsummer's art installation that is happening at Club 80, the secret brotherhood of the
Fellas. The Fellas.
Yeah.
Interesting title.
It is interesting.
The Brotherhood of the Sacred Fellas.
The Sacred Fellas, of course.
Mm. There you go.
So that would be worth listening to, everybody, if you're out there tuning in.
Uh-huh. And if people want to get in touch with us and ask, participate, you know,
join us. Please join us. You can like us on facebook.com/ well, 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 joy, or you can call 1-300-JOY-949, or send us an email on air at joy.org.au, or send us an SMS 0427-JOY-949. And for those who are still with us, you can tweet us at well, 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 joy.
So there's no excuses for getting involved. Lots of options there. And just so for everyone that's listening, the Well, Well, Well show is a weekly program that provides information to you on all matters on sex, health and well-being for the GLBTI community. So get involved.
That's correct. Also, Carlos, you've just come back from an overseas trip. So
I know, I'm a little bit rusty and I don't know how to say it again in front of the microphone.
And where were you?
I went to the UK, actually.
And was that lovely and cool?
It was very fresh.
Fresh.
Yes.
Fresh is the word, I guess.
Yes.
So we're glad to have you back, Carlos, in our midst and back on deck with Well, Well, Well. Although he did tell me before the show he used to tune in through the internet and listen to us without fail.
Yes.
Carlos too. Well, thank God for the podcast, for the app.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
Indeed.
Well, well, well. Well, well, well. On Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And today we are having a chat with Jeremy and Patrick from the Alcohol and Other Drug Services at the Victorian AIDS Council, VAC. We're talking about mental health and managing the use of drugs and alcohol. So welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, before we get into it in detail, can you please tell us a little bit about yourselves? What do you do at VAC, and for how long you've been involved with this kind of work? And we'll start with Jeremy.
Yeah. So I'm a project worker at the Alcohol and Other Drug Services at VAC. My background is that I've worked in community development and project management, various projects in the queer community and trans and gender diverse communities. And I've been with VAC since late last year, come on board to coordinate some therapeutic group programs and education and training across the mainstream sector across Victoria. But Patrick can probably talk a bit more about the rest of alcohol and other drug services.
So you're not a novice, Jeremy, at all, are you?
No, I've been around.
You've been around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I've been around for a while as well. I've been working with people with drug and alcohol issues for a while now, about 8 or 9 years, working in withdrawal units and as a counsellor and in prisons. So, I love this work.
So, I mean, working in the GLBTIQ community with drugs and alcohol, you know, we hear it a lot that, you know, this seems to be a particular issue in our community. I mean, is it? Is there a particular problem in our community? I mean, does it differ from the mainstream community?
Short answer, yes. There is an overrepresentation of alcohol and drug use in GLBTI communities compared to, I guess, heterosexual communities. And there's a range of reasons for that. I guess, especially if it's linked to mental health, which is like a term in the sector is dual diagnosis, which is the co-occurring issues experience with alcohol and drug use and mental health. And the two are often quite linked. And the underlying issues for that in the GLBTI community is that there's a lot, you know, greater experiences of discrimination, rejection from family, you know, fear and the reality of violence and harassment and bullying. There's institutional oppression and discrimination at legal levels, you know, human rights. And I think that this all generally on a day-to-day basis can impact people. People feel isolated. It's hard to connect with community. And this can, you know, sometimes, you know, coping with that can lead to maybe, you know, alcohol and drug use. But it's also, we live in Australia, which, you know, kind of normalises a lot of alcohol use as well. Mm. So I guess in short answer, yes. But Patrick, what else have you got to say on that?
I think you covered that beautifully, Jerry. Yeah, well,
it sounds complex and multi-layered. So it's not, there's no easy solution to one issue. There's many, many aspects to somebody's mental health or alcohol dependency.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the reasons why people use drugs in are the same for the mainstream community and the LGBTIQ communities. And, you know, things like mental health issues, histories of trauma, you know, relationship breakdowns, grief and loss, they're the same for gay people as well as straight people.
Sure.
But for gay people, as Jeremy indicated, there's a whole nother set of stresses that can impose themselves on people, and people tend to use alcohol and other drugs as a way of relieving that stress. Over time, that it can become a habitual thing, the use of alcohol and other drugs, and can lead to a dependency. So, yeah, it's a very complex area.
Mm.
So what about ages? Is there any difference when it comes to use of substances and between the LGBTI community and the general community? Is there a difference in ages?
Oh, without having the research on hand, it's sort of hard to say, but we can say that there are different cohorts of the community, different identities, different sexualities and different ages that will experiment and use different drugs. When we say alcohol and other drugs, we're also including tobacco in that. For example, there's an overrepresentation of younger women that are engaging in smoking and using tobacco at higher rates than the heterosexual community. But, you know, just on that, you know, our service and we're aware that a lot of people also enjoy their lives and enjoy partying and being social, and we're really non-judgmental around people's use, and we just want people, listeners out there, to know that we have a harm minimization approach, which we can touch on later, but we don't look at things disapprovingly. We're not judging or creating any shame or stigma around this.
And I think that's a really good point to make, because there is a lot of judgment around people who perhaps abuse substances. And Patrick, you made a good point earlier about it being a very important thing for people to use to cope. So we're in a sense taking away an important coping mechanism for them, really.
That's right. And the thing is that drugs work. They work in terms of allowing people to cope with some really stressful stuff that's going on in their lives.
Mm.
But they work well up to a point where they start not working. and the drugs themselves start actually impacting on the person. So we understand that why people use drugs and try and help them perhaps find different coping mechanisms.
This is Well, Well, Well. SMS 0427 JOY 949 or email on air at joy.org.au to have your say.
You're listening to Joy 94.9 and this is Well, Well, Well. Now we're talking to Patrick and Jeremy from the Alcohol and Other Drugs Services from BAC. Now guys, from the conversation we have had so far, we can take that there's increased cases of mental health issues such as depression, anxiety, and maybe risk of suicide in the LGBTI community. So I guess there is a need to have tailored responses to these issues. Do you think the government or the health system is actually responding accordingly to this?
Yes, I think it would be good if it could happen a little quicker. But recently we've seen some, I guess, funding initiatives such as Healthy Equal Youth grants that look at, say, youth mental health and suicide prevention in the same-sex attract and gender-diverse communities. And just, you know, particularly with gender-diverse and trans people, they're 125 times more likely to take their life than non-transgender people. So yeah, there are higher rates of, you know, risk of suicide, mental health and poor mental health outcomes. And I think it's important that when looking at models to implement projects to address that it's peer-led and it's done on an evidence-based approach and also a strengths-based approach. So looking at community development projects that look at harnessing the skills and strengths of a community rather than looking at the deficit of individuals or communities' poor health and well-being. I think when you can build on an active participation model, you can get people more involved and it links them into pathways, increases their social networks, it increases their social capital. So people have more friends and peers to look out for and look to when they are in times of difficult times. What about you, Patrick?
Yeah, look, I think the response is coming mainly from the community mental health sector. So the wonderful people at Paran Mission on Chapel Street in Paran run a rainbow social inclusion program. So if people with mental health issues meet up and have dinner once a week and they have outings and stuff like that. The Positive Living Centre on Commercial Road have a grow group that meets weekly. So there are things being done at the community level. At the clinical mental health level, of course, they have their funding constraints, but I think that they're very open to looking at how they can improve LGBTIQ sensitive practice, especially nurses and the doctors. And this work is also done through allied health, social workers and occupational therapists. So there is movement and it is encouraging.
We're talking about tailored responses to these issues. Can you explain how VAC and the Drug and Alcohol Service actually does do this tailoring to a client who may come in? How does it all work? How does it fit together?
Well, what happens is a client will contact us and we will book them in for an assessment, mm-hmm. which is about a one-hour meeting. And we meet with them and we talk about... The first thing we talk about are, what are your goals? Mm. Because we, as Jeremy said, we come from a harm minimisation perspective. Sure. So we really focus in on what the client wants.
So they're part of the whole solution. They're, it's a partnership between yourself and the client.
Absolutely.
Working towards the common good end.
Absolutely.
So we'll hear a little bit more about what they can expect when they come to VAC for a service. We'll listen to some announcements and a song. Actually, we're going to...
Thanks for listening. This is Well, Well, Well.
You're back on Well, 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 Joy 94.9, and we're talking with Jeremy and Patrick from the Alcohol and Other Drug Services at the Victorian AIDS Council. Now, guys, before we went to that song, you were talking about what a client can expect when they come to VAC for a service to deal with their substance abuse.
Yeah, so they come in for a meeting with us, goes for about an hour and a half, and we talk about what their goals are in relation to their drug use. So, like Jeremy said, we follow a harm minimisation approach. So, someone may want to control their drug use, so just get things under control. They may want to reduce their drug use, or they might want to stop completely. And we're fine with whatever goals the client has. So we'll talk about your drug use, what kind of drugs are you using, a bit about what kind of supports you have in your life. Then we'll talk a bit about your mental health, and then talk about, you know, what are the kinds of services that we can offer. And then, yeah, as Jack was talking about, tailoring treatment to the person and their specific goals.
Now, you know, alcohol use and to some extent drug use is sort of normalised in our community at some level. So how is it, how does somebody get to the point where they say to themselves and they can say to you, I do have a problem with it? Because people don't necessarily readily identify that there's a problem with the use of substances, do they?
Yeah. And I mean, it takes, there's a long journey before someone contacts us. So they will have been thinking about this for a while.
Yeah.
And really, drug use becomes a problem, I believe, when it starts impacting on other areas of your life.
Mm.
So it may start impacting on your work life. So you might be taking days off sick or be tired or less productive at work. It could impact on your finances.
Mm.
So you don't have enough money for the other things in life that you have to pay for. It could have an impact on your relationships, like your family relationships or work relationships.
And it can also have an impact, I guess, on your physical and mental health and well-being. Like it can sort of trigger certain aspects of your mental health. You might feel lethargic. There's a whole range of other physical issues that may occur, neurological issues. Mm.
A whole range of things. And now, apart from the overt issues that people can identify with being marginalised or stigmatised, there's other subtle issues, isn't there? Like the fear of being outed, for example, or that internal stuff that people live with.
Well, yeah. So there's this notion called internalized homophobia, which is where we ourselves, or even internalized transphobia, where we ourselves take on those negative views of being gay or gender diverse, and we allow that to sort of seep into our lives and control our behaviors. And this can sometimes lead us to have negative views of ourselves or fear what others will think of us.
Yeah.
And it can kind of change our behaviors, and that can impact or trigger alcohol or drug use.
Yeah, right. And you may have touched on this a little bit earlier, but what about, I mean, you know, with drugs and alcohol being a part of the way not only GLBTI people cope with stress or internalized homophobia, like you said, but what about the way we celebrate, the way we party, the way we perhaps even enhance, you know, our experience of sex and all these sorts of things that, you know, appeal to people?
Yeah, like we said, we come from a very non-judgmental harm minimisation approach. You know, we're not here to police people's use. We acknowledge that it is a part of people's lives, that people can access it and it can enhance certain experiences of their lives. It can really open up, you know, new experiences. But it's when it starts to become harmful is where we would like people and the community start to become better equipped at communicating with each other about where that line is, so that we can start to look out for ourselves and each other a little better. Because if you look at the history of how our communities have socialized, because we've been so underground in recent decades, we would go to bars to meet and have fun and meet lovers or partners. So it has sort of come out of, I guess, you know, a culture of drinking and then, you know, partying and taking drugs. So, you know, that's maybe it's about trying to introduce other ways that we can all socialize and engage with each other. But without, you know, we're not talking zero tolerance here. We're talking, you know, harm minimization.
Yeah. Now, we have been talking about the whole LGBTI community. At the same time, we've been talking about tailoring responses. So I guess each of those letters will have to be a particular approach. I know the alcohol and drug services offers different kind of groups. Let's talk about these groups. Let's start with Rewired.
Yeah, so Rewired, which will be running soon at the beginning of March. It's all of our therapeutic groups at the Alcohol and Other Drug Services run on a weekly basis, but for a set period of time, be it 6 weeks or 8 weeks. And Rewired starts on March 4th, and it's for a group for men who have sex with other men who want to change or address their methamphetamine use. Which is, you know, and also this looks into, you know, anxiety or depression, or perhaps looking at how people want to change their use or what triggers their use and relapse prevention. We look at nutrition. So this is a facilitated program by staff counselors at VAC, and all of these services are free. So the therapeutic, all of the alcohol and other drug services are free, just by the way. I just want to point that out, individual counseling, our care and recovery support and our groups. So that's the Rewired group. So if anyone is interested, give us a call on 9865-6700 if you're interested in coming to a group. They're confidential, they're supportive, they're facilitated by, you know, professional, qualified, very caring, supportive staff at VAC.
Another support group is Drink Limits. Can you tell us a little bit about that group?
Yeah, Drink Limits is a therapeutic support group for same gender attracted and queer women who would like to address their alcohol use and anxiety.
Just for women?
This is a women's group. So we're really proud to be moving more into a direction and working in women's communities, and we recognise that there's some work to do there. And so we're going to be running Drink Limits, which is going to run for 8 weeks, and it will be in the inner north, so people won't have to cross the river down south. And it will be facilitated, like I said, and we'll look at, why do we look to use alcohol so much? Do we want to change that? Do we want to look about how it impacts on our relationships? And that will be run by women as well.
Okay, and finally, there's a group called Transformed. Yep. What's that all about?
Transformed is a therapeutic group for transgender diverse people, and partners are also welcome. So that's going to run for 4 weeks throughout April, and it's going to look at relationship stress, alcohol and drug use, and how it interacts with hormones. It's going to look at mental health and holistically just look at whole health and well-being.
Okay.
So once again, the number for people who wants to get involved in any of these three groups?
So if you are interested in participating in any of these groups, call us on 03-9865-6700, and we can book you in for an assessment and go through what the program is a bit more detail.
So that's great. So thanks. And for anyone listening, if you are wanting to address your substance use, do get involved with VAC, and I'm sure Jeremy and Patrick will be able to support you there.
Yeah. So if you're actually looking for individual counselling or in our alcohol and our drug services, we actually have a free 1-800 number, 1-800-906-669. So give us a call and we can book an appointment.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy. And thanks, guys, for coming in. And just before we let you go, actually, Patrick, we heard you had a pretty interesting holiday. Do you want to you don't have to go into too much detail, but it sounds like it was cut short.
Yeah, no, so I got rescued by helicopter on the south coast of Tasmania.
Right, I hope you're okay, Patrick.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
So we'll come back after a few announcements with our next guest, so stay with us on Joy 94.9.
The Glamourhead Sharks are Melbourne's GLBTI swimming squad, made up of swimmers of all ages, abilities, shapes and sizes. The Glamourhead Shark swim sessions are designed to improve technique and endurance for competition or general fitness. Visit glamourheads.org for more information.
Attention people, it's time to get back in the game. The Melbourne Spikers offer both social and competitive volleyball groups, so dig in and have a ball. Coaching is provided for all skill levels. For more information, see melbournespikers.org.au. That's melbournespikers.org.au.
Well, on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Joy 94.9. Well. Now we are joined in studio by Tom Pender, who is the artist behind the Brotherhood of the Sacred Phallus.
It's a good title.
Tom, how are you?
Hi, Carlos. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Welcome to Well.
Thanks very much for having me.
Now, Andrew was telling me he was very intrigued about the slogan or, you know, the tagline that you're using on the art.
I was just caught up with the word phallus. You need to tell us more about the title.
The Brotherhood of the Sacred Phallus. It's kind of sort of setting an idea about what guys can expect, or sort of creating a bit of a mystery that I'm hoping sort of will encourage guys to come along to find out what's going on. What is this brotherhood? You know, what is this sacred phallus? And the using that sort of term sacred and phallus instead of something else is kind of just drawing upon other cultural and historical examples of phallic worship, which is kind of what I'm tying into what we do at Club 80.
Oh. So have you done anything like this before? Any other exhibition like this at other SOP venues?
No, this is the first time I've done this sort of thing. I guess I've participated in an event that they had at Club 80 a little while ago with some life drawing. But the idea, I essentially have been referring to this as an artist-in-resident project in a SOPV. And so I thought it was just an interesting place to position art and to sort of play around with that space in that way.
I love art too.
So Cruise for Sex in the Name of Art.
Mm.
What are we expecting, Tom? Tell me more.
Well, that line was really encouraging guys who might not have been to an SOPV like Club 80, or who might not be willing to admit that they've gone along, that they now have an excuse. You know, if they've read about the event in Midsummer or heard about it from their friends, it's like, oh, we can go along and check this out. We've got a good excuse.
Yeah, go along to an art exhibition. Or
that's right.
I'm
just going to look at the art.
That's right,
of course. Reading the articles.
That's why everyone goes.
Yeah.
So is it interactive? What actually are people going to be faced with? Are you going to be there?
Well, there's a combination. There are some installations and some more things will sort of emerge over the time period. But I am present at certain times that advertise on a Tumblr I'll tell you about. And that is as the supreme member of the Brotherhood of the Sacred Phallus. You can give yourself a title when you create your own group.
The supreme member.
I'm
gee,
the
I like
supreme
that.
Member, Jonathan Thomas.
Wow.
Oh,
and,
Thomas.
Do we call you Sire?
You may refer to me as Jonathan Thomas. <that's> And I sort of am present for a couple of hours of certain nights doing Brotherhood initiation rituals.
Initiation rituals.
Very simple ritual.
Which involves? Which involves?
It's a non-sexual ritual. It's just one-to-one, making a little declaration. And really, it's kind of an acknowledgement that we are already all brothers, you know, and that we're dedicated to phallic worship. Okay. And so it's just for guys to be able to come and have that little moment. And it's been a really lovely moment for the guys who have participated in that ritual. It's quite a simple, intimate moment. And I think it really is different to some of the other sort of experiences guys have at SOPVs. And they seem to really connect with that, which has been a lot of fun.
Hmm. Well, I think it really acknowledges something really important in the way men connect with other men, you know. And I think it's something that you don't see in sort of the mainstream or heterosexual community. I mean, this is, I think it's quite special, actually, what you're talking about.
Yeah, thank you. I think so too, and I think that's the thing that a lot of the guys who have participated in, particularly the ritual, which I think is the focus of the project, is that they really do get an emotional connection, and we have in that very short ritual an emotional connection which really resonates with the guys who participate. And so it's a special thing for me as well as for them. I'm really, really enjoying doing that.
And when does it start exactly, and how long does it run for?
Well, it actually started last Friday.
I missed the beginning. I missed the opening night.
No, this is the thing with this project. There's actually a closing event because it's an artist in residence rather than a straightforward exhibition where you would have an opening celebration. But it runs until February the 8th, which is the Sunday. That's the last weekend of Midsummer. And the closing event's on Friday the 6th of February. Which is at it's at Club 80 with a special nude, one of their nude parties. It's going to be a brotherhood-themed party.
Mm. Oh, dear. So, closing party nude. Oh, dear. I knew there'd be a catch for me.
So for people that hasn't been at Club 80, it's a men-only venue. It's three floors, the venue. Are you going to be located in one of the floors, or how can people find you?
Well, people can find me when I'm present as the supreme member doing the initiation rituals on the top floor, the mezzanine in room one. It's one of the special rooms I have there. Mm-hmm. And they can find out when I'm available through the Tumblr that I have, which is sacred-phallus.tumblr.com. And that's where I post dates, or times and dates, I guess, when I'm present as the Supreme Member.
Can you repeat that, please?
It's sacred-phallus.tumblr.com.
All right, we will put that on Facebook after the show for all of you interested.
Great, thanks, Tom. We'll come back after a quick song. Tom, we'll hear some more from you. We're going to listen to From the Music.
Well, we'll enjoy 94.9.
It is 9. Oops.
Yes, it is. 94.9. Now we're talking to Tom, the artist behind the Brotherhood of the Sacred Phallus. Tom, you are no stranger to the SAM project, the Sexual Adventurous Man project. You actually did the videos with Richard for us for the website at the beginning. And of course, when you came with to us with this idea, we were more than happy to jump and support you on this plan, because I think it's quite a good project that you have going on.
Well, yes, thanks. That's right. I was involved with the SAM project, and that was really, I think, had that grassroots community connection, which I think is really important. And I think that's what this project has as well. It's dealing directly with the guys who are in the community, the guys, whether they identify as gay or not, who come to Club 80 and use that sort of venue. And so it is really reaching out directly in a very literal sort of sense,
yeah,
to these people. And so that's it's a nice opportunity to have that connection.
Yeah. So last time we were at Club 80 working together. I have to actually clarify that.
Thank you.
It was a Ligatio, and you mentioned that you were doing some live drawing over there. There were plenty of activities happening during that event. So what was your experience working at Club 80 doing the live drawing? And have you worked before in another SOPV or...?
Well, it was really an interesting experience doing the live drawing at Legatio. So as you said, there were various other demonstrations and things going on.
Yeah.
And what I was doing was... sort of standard life drawing setup, except I was using an app on an iPad and projecting the images. So I was just trying to sort of mix that up a little bit and play with a slightly different technique. But it was really, while the model was there, and naked nude model, life model, I was felt as much on, being observed as well. But so there was a very interesting interaction with, the sort of guys who were there.
Now... Tom, we have actually a question for you, an email. It was sent by Grant, and his question, what are Tom's plans for the Brotherhood after this exhibition ends?
Well, thanks, Grant. That's a really good question. It's actually something, I see this as the starting point for the project to really expand, and it could go in various directions. It's the sort of thing that I think I could take to different festivals, such as Mardi Gras or any other gay and lesbian festivals. I think it's the sort of work that would transpose into other venues, whether it's another SOPV or something similar. But really, also, I think it's something that the guys who are involved, who become part of the Brotherhood, can grow it in their own way. And so, definitely, this is not a limited project as far as I'm concerned. I'm really interested in expanding it, sort of see where it can go. And
it can travel quite well to, as you said, to other states, other venues, other festivals.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Across Australia, and who knows where else.
That's right. And I'd really love to have some international brothers, joining up, and that'd be awesome.
Oh, we're going international.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've got international listeners. We do have international listeners, Tom.
Well, hello to them, and come and join the Brotherhood.
We do.
Speaking of listeners, we have one more text message that's come through. It says, great show, guys. Missing Murray this week, though. Sad face. That's from George from Toorak.
Well, George, you don't know, what it's like to work with Murray. That's all I can say. It's nice of a little break. No, we love you, Murray. We love you. If you're listening, Murray, we love you, Murray.
We do love you, Murray.
We miss you.
But the great news is that we've got Carlos back today.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
We do. Carlos has been away.
Yes.
So welcome back. We've missed you too, Carlos.
Tom, thank you so much for coming in today and sharing all of that with us, and hopefully that's been really useful for the listeners. Hopefully you get a few people going along and joining the Brotherhood.
Thanks very much for having me, and I hope so too. I'm really excited if guys would come in and tell me they've heard about the show through Joy.
Oh, yeah.
And, maybe you'll get an extra special ritual.
There you are. You've heard it from the horse's mouth. You can get a special treat if you mention you heard about it on Well on Joy.
Oh, sounds nice. So... what else is coming up, guys, for the rest of the
Well, we're actually looking because Midsummer is here, and of course it will finish with Pride March.
Yes.
This Sunday?
Yes. We actually march on Pride.
We do, some better than others.
We do march, yes. Pride's coming up. And if you want to march with us, please register to march through Elan, elan@vac98656700. We'll get you in touch with Elan, so please register if you want to march. And also, there's a show coming up, PS I'm Fabulous, down at the Gasworks. There's still tickets available for the opening night, February the 5th. Gasworks, PS I'm Fabulous, a tribute to five iconic women. Brandy Ford is doing his show by public demand. Get in touch with either VAC or Gasworks for that show.
Great. So get involved and head down to Pride March down in St Kilda on Fitzroy Street this Sunday. It's always a brilliant day. It's not going to be as hot as last year this year. So
probably just as well.
Might be a little bit cooler. But so no excuse for everyone to get down there, though, and also join the after parties.
Indeed. We can't wait.
So that wraps up another show, guys.
Indeed.
We'll be back same time, same place at Well, 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 Joy 94.9 next Tuesday at 12.
Next show we have Fiona.
With the afternoon show.
We do indeed, okay. Fiona.
Thanks for listening.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.